previously on Thomas and the Bible. Well, William, I don't know, sorry, I can't get your name right, was mentioning that the sound sounded different in the beginning here, and he's right. That's good ears on you there. I made it a sidechain compressor, which is typically what's done more often, I think, in professional audio, which is weird because it sounds like it sounds worse to you. But that sucks. Maybe it's worse. I don't know. Maybe I didn't do it right. Anyway, that's what that is. So that's why it gets louder when I stop talking. So with that said, I'll stop talking. Oh, hey. How you guys doing? I'm good. Okay, so let's see. Things to say, things to tell you. I asked you guys to watch the debate live last weekend that I was hosting for Atheistically Speaking. I want to say that I think the response was decent. It wasn't amazing. It was a very small percentage of listeners to the show, but that's okay. Sorry about the mic. It ended up being at least enough to not be embarrassing, and I think that people will watch it in the coming weeks and months on YouTube. Actually, maybe I could check how many people have watched it on YouTube just for fun. Not that you guys care, but you never know. Anyway, so thanks for that. I appreciate that a lot. Right now, it's got 300 views on YouTube. Hey, that's not terrible for a two-hour debate. No big deal. So yeah, it did end up being 2 hours, so that's a lot, but it was 2 good hours. It was very, very good. I'll stop saying any more about that because I'm sure if you listen to my other show, and even if you listen to this one, you'll have already heard all about the debate and probably have heard the debate, so I won't bother with that. All right, here's another thing. So I don't know if Tyler is listening, but I spoke with Tyler Vella, who is a Christian and is a pretty hardcore Christian. It's interesting. I see him post incredibly hardcore Christian stuff on Facebook, but when we talked, it wasn't quite as bad as I would have thought. But anyway, he commented on something Bible related, and this is why I'm bringing it up. About how me and atheists and fundamentalists interpret the Bible in the same, you know, literal way. We're terrible, whatever. And I said, oh, let's have a debate about that. Maybe not an official debate. I shouldn't say that given that I just had an official debate. But I said, well, let's talk about that. And I was pretty prepared for maybe just a bunch of examples where I would be maybe embarrassed that I interpreted stuff so loosely or jumped on whatever. And we had the discussion. It's going to be, I believe, next week's Atheistically Speakings. It was really, I loved it because, to be honest with you, I don't think it was that hard to counter against his arguments. I really don't. Like, I was more worried than I should have been. I didn't prepare. I figured the last 5 years of reading the Bible is enough prep for me. I didn't find it that difficult, to be honest. Again, I don't know if Tyler's listening. I don't know if he listens to this show, but it wasn't too hard. You know, there's enough just really bad stuff in the Bible, even apart from hermeneutics or whatever, and apart from like translation and all that. Like there's plenty to go around. You can apply all the best hermeneutics and translations and context, everything you want. Turns out the Bible still sucks. So that was what I walked away from it. Maybe you will think differently, but I'll be very curious to hear what some of you guys think. That I really think you should listen to, again, next week's Atheistically Speakings, because it's totally about the Bible and about this podcast. So I didn't want to play it here, obviously, because, you know, I'm reading the Bible here. But anyway, all right, let's get to Mark Sace. And he went out for, we're just reading 6, 7, and 8. Maybe they're a little longer because it seems shorter. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, oh, guys, guess what? He's teaching on the Sabbath. Is this bad? Can he get away with this? I don't know. We'll see. From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not the carpenter the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Is not this the carpenter? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended him. That's interesting. So actually, maybe it turns out it wasn't the Sabbath thing that I remembered. I don't remember this in the last reading. Do you guys? I don't remember a sentence that talked about like, oh, who's this carpenter? And he's the son of Mary, brother of James. Joseph mentioned Jesus's brothers, who really did get screwed. I think that's an old joke, but how weird to be the sibling of the Son of God, but not really. I guess you're not full sibling. You know, here's what I want to know. How much family resemblance was there between Jesus and James and Joseph and Judah and Simon and his sisters? Because, like, I would expect Jesus to look a lot different because he's the Son of God. He shouldn't have any of Joseph's genes. None of them. You should expect Jesus to look completely different. And I wish we had that data, you know? I really do. We do not have that evidence, but I wish we did, because really, like, if he looked anything like Joseph, or I guess it wouldn't have been Joseph, it probably would have been another man. So maybe that would mess up the scientific experiment I'm trying to pull. But really, he should be half God, or like, you know, whatever God decided to be the semen that the holy semen that impregnated Mary. I mean, I get it. It's the Immaculate Reception. No, it's the Immaculate Conception. But still, there had to be conception. So like at some point there were genetics and there's all that going on. So I wonder how God supposedly did that. Did he look half like God and half like Mary? Did he look somehow 100% like Mary? Does he have some divine appearance? And at any rate, he should look a lot different than his siblings. So that's interesting. Never thought about that before. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. That's funny. That line was essentially Jesus saying, like, nah, I get no respect. I get no respect around here. Like, he was pretty much like, geez, guys, I'm from here. I'm a prophet everywhere else. Like, everyone loves me. I kill in Chicago. I sell out stadiums in other states. But he's like, here where I'm from, no one gives a shit. That's seriously what he just said. He's like, oh, whatever, I'll do like a miracle or two and then just leave. This is no good. My own town. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He went round about the villages teaching. But that's honestly what you should expect. You know, it's like, think of if one of your old schoolmates that you knew that was kind of a piece of crap, all of a sudden he was supposedly the prophet. You'd be like, that douchebag? Really? Or like all of a sudden he's famous or runs a, you know, Fortune 500 company. You're like, that guy? No way. He was eating glue back when I knew. And that actually makes sense, like familiarity, you know. They'd just be like, Jesus, no, that dude's nothing special. We've known him forever. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats, just one 1.5 coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. What? In what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. So he's saying, like, as long as you go. Because at first it sounded like, how could you not do that? Because he's like, it's like wherever you go, there you are. Oh, sorry. That was good, John. No, he's like, what did he say? He's like, So if you go to a city and stay in a house, stay in that house the entire time you're in the city, I guess. And whoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed many with oil that were sick. Are you sure that wasn't just their version of events once they came back to Jesus? Jesus is like, hey, how'd it go? And in reality, the 12 are like, wait, I'm not a prophet. I can't do. Oh, yeah, we banished tons of demons. Hey, Bob, how many demons did we banish in that town? You remember? I think it was at least 15. I was 16, Bob? 15 or 16. Hard to tell because there were some people were running and screaming, and I don't know if that was one demon or two, but a good 15 or 16 demons. I mean, we just cleaned the bejesus. Oh, sorry. Cleaned the bayou out of the, we cleaned the bayou out of that place. And, it was work well done. I assure you, we cast out devil. Oh, just tons of that riddled with devils. And then after we were done, not as many devils is what I'd say. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do shew themselves in him. And others said, that is Elias. I remember this part, Elias or whatever, Elias. And others said, that is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. Well, you know, a quick test would be, does he have a head? Because you beheaded him. So, I mean, if Jesus has a head, then it's not John. If he doesn't, then it could be John. He actually still wouldn't be sure. For Herod himself had sent forth, had laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel with him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was just a man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whosoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me will I give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, and this is really just unnecessary. The mother said, the head of John the Baptist. What kind of mom would say that? Like, hey, what should I ask for? You know, a car? We don't have cars. A horse? A carriage? I don't know. What did we have back then? I'm not sure. A camel? A donkey of something? What should I ask for? Just all the money in the world? A new servant, a new whatever. No, ask for the head of this guy who just said something that I didn't like. Mom, what? Yeah, no, do it. And then she does it. Because, you know, honor your father and your mother. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for the sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. I think that's just him blaming it on a woman because he could probably get away with it back then. I didn't want to do it. My wife, what can you do? And it's not even my wife. It's that I, and that's funny. He's like, well, I don't give a crap what my wife says, except that I pledged to it. I gave my word. I took an oath that I would do whatever she said. And so therefore, I mean, yeah, it's just, look, if it's just a question of me and my wife, I don't, you know, who cares? But I made this oath. So sorry. And he beheaded John, and he brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give them to eat, and say unto them, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he say, how many loaves have ye? Go and say, oh guys, loaves and fishes. Are you ready to be wowed? Are you ready to have your asses impressed? Get this. They don't have enough food right now, but they have a Jesus, which is better. He saith unto them, and when they knew, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them, I thought it was 4. Oh, whatever. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon green grass. And they sat down in ranks and by hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 leaves and loaves and 2, he can't make bread out of leaves, but he can make it out of loaves. So like, I like how that matters. He can make bread out of more bread, but he has to have a certain amount of bread first. That's how his powers work. I don't know why. He looked up to the heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to disciples set before them. And the 2 fishes he divided among them all. And they all did eat and were filled. But how could they have been when they only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes? No one knows. It remains a mystery to this day. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And it was actually 2 huge loaves or 5 huge loaves and 2 giant fish. It was actually fish that were just like a football field of a fish. So that's the part that Jesus does, you know, I get it. You know, he's trying to pump up his image and everything, but that's the part that Jesus left out of the story. Yeah, well, whatever. People exaggerate, people, whatever. They try to, you know, they try to up their credit and all that. But what he didn't say is that it was a fish literally the size of a football field. It was a big, it was a giant fish. And then 1 small fish. So, but the big one did most of it. So like the small fish fed 1 guy. And then the big fish fed 4,999 men because it was really big. It was hard to decide who got the small fish, but anyway, I you know what? I digress. And straight away he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. Is Jesus going to have to do some water walking again? Let's find out. And when he had sent them away, he departed unto a mountain to pray. And even when was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in the rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not of the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was... So the miracle of the loaves didn't do it, this says. So they were like, ah, whatever, 5,000 people, 5 loaves, 2 fish, that's what, I could do that. I could do that with like 6 loaves and 3 fish. So, I mean, he's a little bit better at it than I am. But when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straight away they knew him and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick and where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that might touch if it were but the border of his garment. As many as touched him were made whole. So that was, yeah, it was a long chapter, that's for sure. But I like the idea that they weren't impressed by the loaves and fishes miracle. They're like, yeah, whatever. I totally did that the other day. Like, didn't I tell you about that? Yeah, no, I totally did the same thing. But then I guess the water, and then I never knew Jesus walking on water. I think I just never thought of it. But when you think of, like, you know, oh, what did that miracle look like or whatever? Yeah, I never thought about it. I always envisioned as a kid when I heard this, because you just, as a kid, you know, I just heard like, oh, Jesus walked on water, whatever. I just thought like one day he was like, hey, see that water over there? Yeah. bet you can't do this. and then just kind of did a moonwalk on it for a minute or something. Just walked on it regularly. And then people were like, whoa. But no, it's actually a story where like the ship, I like how the ship is like tossing and turning in this storm or something. And he's like, hey, is everything okay? I better come out there. And so he just walks out like, hey, you guys cool? Do you need anything? Okay, I'll see you later then. Like, he walks out on the ocean or whatever to them just to check on him. Like, I never thought of it as like, oh, it was just a means of transportation for Jesus. He could have hovered, you know, he could have teleported into the ship and then teleported out, you know, but he has to walk on the water. Like, hey, is everything all right? He could have just taken a boat out there, whatever. Mark 7 up yours. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brass and vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well, Elias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. I don't know why that's funny. Let him die the death. I'll tell you what's in store for you. The death. Do you mean just dying? Yes, that's what I mean. But ye say, if a man shall say, I got a terrible case of the death the other day. if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. That's interesting. Well, that sounds like license to do a whole lot of weird sex things to me. But maybe I'm just, you know, perverted in that way. But Jesus is like, look, you can stick all the things in a man you want. And some people were listening, like, what? Go on. The gay population at the time was like, wait, I thought it wasn't cool that I was. Is this okay now? Can I be? Jesus is like, yes, you can stick whatever you want in a man. Like, okay, but the things that come out of him, those are they that defile the man. And then everyone's like, oh crap, I think that's still. So wait, as long as we don't finish. So yeah. Anyway. And then, of course, people who weren't quite so with minds in the gutter were thinking like, yeah, he just means you can, it's what you say or do that kind of makes you a sinner. Oh, okay. Sorry. I took that totally different direction. I mean, no, I didn't. I took the, yes, of course, what you're saying is exactly what I thought. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith, oh, it's a bunch of gay stuff. That's what I was talking about. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do not ye perceive that whosoever, that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly. Well, I guess it could be done that way. I don't, I'm not sure. And goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. Meats, what is? And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defiles the man. Am I right, fellas? Everyone's like, yeah, that's true. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come forth from within and defile the man. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, oh, it's always a woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. This woman was, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. She answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, let the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were open. Oh, his ears were just closed. Well, that's the problem. And the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much more the great deal they published it. Man cures other man. They published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done things all well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. I don't want dumb people to speak, really. Oh, that kind of dumb. Oh, I see. Because I think a miracle would be the opposite. So I want to go back to, so I finished that chapter, but it was weird. There was that Cartesian woman or whatever it was, what was the word? Hold on, I had it up. Syrophoenician from Syrophoenix, I guess. Syrophoenician woman. And so she said, oh, fix my daughter. And Jesus was like, hey, you don't feed the dog's crumbs. It was weird. I couldn't figure it out for a while, so I had to research it. He's like, oh, you don't feed the dog's crumbs or whatever or something. You don't feed the dogs before the master or something like that. And then she said, like, well, the dogs sometimes get the leftovers or scraps from the master. And Jesus said, like, aha, you're all right. And then cured the daughter. So, like, what essentially that meant is he was comparing her to a dog or the daughter to a dog and was like, look, woman, I've got things to do, essentially. Like, at first I thought it was some bigger lesson. Like, I was trying to figure it out, but it turns out I was being too kind. He was just saying, like, look, I got stuff to do. I don't have time for your little daughter, you know? And then she's like, oh, but, you know, even dogs get the... So she's acknowledging this insult that Jesus laid on her. She's calling herself a dog, essentially. Like, yeah, well, sometimes dogs get table scraps or whatever. And then he's like, hey, you're all right. So, and it took him no time, by the way. Like, this wasn't something, it's not like Jesus has, like, a limited amount of time or miracles or whatever. He just says, like, hey, for that, he literally says, oh, because of that, like, you know, repartee, because of that comment or comeback, I'll go ahead and cure your daughter. And she's just cured instantly. So, like, what gives? that's kind of a dick move to be like that hesitant to grant a simple miracle that takes you no time. So I thought that was kind of funny. Mark 8, dude. So that's my favorite chapter yet, Mark 8. In those days, the multitude being very great. No, they're not that great. Everyone's going on and on about how great that multitude is. They're just not that great. And having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Where were you after day one of nothing to eat? And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples said unto them, what? I just made that up. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves? Are we doing this again? This already happened, Bible. Here, let me help you. We've read, this will be the third time. How many loaves have ye? And they said, seven. Ah, this again. And he commanded, and he commanded the people to sit down on the ground and took the seven loaves and give thanks and break and gave to his disciples to set before them. And he did set them before the people. And they had a very few small fishes. Oh, this time he stipulated that they were small. And he blessed and commanded them to set them also before them. But what he didn't say is that the loaves of bread were the size of a football field. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left, seven baskets. And they had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. I got to say, same miracle second time is like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I get it. They had to have been thinking like, hey, can you give us food? Especially day three. Jesus waits till day three when they're like, Jesus, we're going to die. We know you can make infinite fish and bread. Just please feed us. We're dying. Day two was really bad. Day three, we're going to die. And we know you can do this. Just do it. Jesus is like, okay. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. Am I crazy or did we read this exact thing? And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. Oh, okay. And he left them. And entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason you because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not remember when I break the five loaves among 5,000? And how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said, how is it that you do not understand? I'm with you, Jesus. Like, guys, don't worry about how much food you have. I know this goes against the scene I painted earlier, but that's what's happening. Jesus is constantly performing miracles and like, oh, we're almost out of food. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Jesus is like, dudes, I just did this. We just went through this. I remember when you had like no fish and no bread and I made you a ton of fish and a ton of bread sandwiches, fish sandwiches. It's delightful. And they're like, yeah. It's like, yeah, I can just do that again. Come on. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man. He's like, I'm not touching that blind man. They took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him and asked if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Well, that counts as ought, okay? I asked you if you saw ought. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he had to try a couple times. I like that. Jesus didn't quite get it right at first. And he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town." And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, "Whom do men say that I am?" This is funny because he's essentially telling the guy who was once blind, "Hey, go back to town, but don't tell anybody what happened." It's like, don't tell anybody that I was blind and now I'm not blind anymore. Yeah, yeah. Okay, how's that going to work? And Jesus went out and his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and some, and others, one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But who say ye that I am?" And Peter answereth and saith unto him, "Thou art Christ." And he charged them that they shall tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake of that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest..." Satan, Jesus, that escalated. "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Oh, that's it for today. Okay. I want to say thank you guys for listening. Hey, I want to say thank you. 3 new patrons. Count them. Rex Hammer, thank you so much. Dan Underwood, thank you, thank you, thank you. And Kimberly Hart, thank you guys. I really appreciate it. Those people, those fine folks went to patreon.com/TNTheB and gave a small donation or maybe a large donation. Either way, I appreciate it just as much. And you're the best. And I want to say thanks to my all-timies. John Bodley, Marcel, Dan Underwood, Katie, Stacy Swaney, George Green, Sarah McPike, Scott McFarland, Charles Bangwiener, Tom Chambers, Brian Gearford, Lee Primesberger, John P., Travis Peterson, and Roberto. Thank you guys. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And with that said, I will see you next week.